The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Fun episode today of UFC Unfiltered. Matt and myself are alone, and we cover the entire card for UFC 214. And we have a really, really fun chat. Am I right or wrong, Matt?
You are 100% right.
Jaws are dropped throughout this arena. Nobody is sitting down.
Chasing that finish. Elbows raining down.
Oh! On the button!
Are you kidding me?
Oh, he hurt him again!
He's out!
UFC and digital media present UFC Unfiltered. And now, your hosts, Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
Welcome. The crew is back together. I travel a lot for work, as you know. Matt travels a lot with Dana and for his fighters. So once in a while, we have to split the duties. But that's why Matt and I are a good team.
We're a great team. You say good, I say great.
Well,
I,
your part is excellent. My part is good. No, your part is excellent. My part is mediocre. So we meld to good.
You look
I bring you down and you bring me
you
up.
You look skinny, buddy.
Oh, and cut it out, man. I feel like a fat pig. I ate horrible. No. I ate horrible in Montreal.
You know who lost a lot of weight? Not myself. Ray Longo.
Yeah, he looks good.
He's getting a lot of praise. And I'm not a hater.
No, you're not.
But I'm definitely he loves that I'm like the chubby guy of the group now.
Well, it's okay.
Of the duo.
He'll inspire
he
you.
He loves it.
If you feel like you ate too much, he'll inspire you.
Oh, he's trying to, too. But I'm the opposite. Like, we went out to eat after the weigh-ins. You know, I was in L.A. for the fights.
I know you are.
You know, we got to talk some fights.
Oh, we're going
I
to.
I can't wait.
I didn't see any of them. I'm kidding.
Aljo Sterling. I'm so happy. I mean, on a personal.
I was cheering. I was so happy.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, he fought that's the former champ.
And Barao, yes.
Barao was the man.
Didn't he? Wait, Barao hadn't been taken down in how long before Sterling took
ever?
Him down? Was it really one of those?
I think he had 100% takedown defense.
Right
or wrong?
Yeah,
no, I'm pretty sure. Aljo's a...
He's a hard guy to fight,
Aljo,
man. Aljo, I mean.
I mean, look, we're going to get into all the fights.
Yeah, we can start Aljo.
Aljo definitely was his hardest fight to date as far as opponent goes. You know, I mean, this guy's the former champ, and he's...
Yeah.
And not only is he a former champ, I mean, he ran that division for a long time. The guys he beats, man, I mean, he's just, you know, he was one of the best pound for pound at a time. You
and
know?
They gave him a 10-8 round. I think they speculated that one of those.
Sorry, I was looking up something.
I think Chris the producer likes the party. What's up, Chris the producer?
Yeah, so I was looking up Barao's.
Is that what you listen to when you're doing fucking poppers outside of Glory Hole?
What are you doing, man? You pop locking on that side of the room?
My personal life.
What did you say about a Glory Hole?
Doing poppers outside of Glory Hole? So did they give it? There was a 10-8 round where he was on Barao's back most of it. Did they give them? Cause it was a 30-26, 29-27, 29-28. But there was a 30-26. Does that mean one of them was a 10-8 round?
I believe so.
Okay. Yeah,
I mean, it was but the way it went down. And again, this is such an exciting time. I mean, just for the team in general, what a great couple of weeks we're having. You know, we're fresh off of Chris's win. And, you know, that was dramatic enough.
Amazing.
With the way that went down. And with this one, similar circumstances, not as dramatic, but, you know, Barao got on top in that first round after, I think, a failed kick by Aljo.
Right.
And
did he catch
and
it?
Then,
or did he slip that down?
I got to see it again. He misplaced it, whatever it was, and then they got tangled up. And then then Aljo went right for a leg attack, and he was keeping him at bay. But, you know, Barao's a black belt himself, so... He knows how if he's not gonna dominate as far as pass the guard or work a guy over, he knows how to keep a guy down. He knows what to watch out for. So when he got on top of Aljo and he got out of the trouble with his leg, and he was settling in on Aljo's guard, Aljo had one butterfly hook, but Barão had the far underhook, you know? And Aljo was holding on to that with his overhook. But the problem is, Barão, with a lesser guy, Aljo could definitely take that leg out, and he has some nice, sweet attacks from there, whether reversals or come up for triangles and arm locks and umaplatas. But Barão was good enough to keep that foot stuffed, so...
Did they wind up in that 50-50, it's called, where they're both, is that what this called, and they're both trying to leg lock at the same time, and they're kind of almost sitting, or they almost got to that, but they didn't quite.
No, he had the, yeah, he had the leg, no, Aljo's legs weren't really in danger.
But wasn't it close?
They were saying, he had him, yeah, he had him in the position to get the inside heel hook, and, but you know, again, the guy, but Barão was defending it the right way. He wasn't just coming up, he was keeping the weight correct. He wasn't rushing out of it. You could tell he's been there before, you know? So, ideally I wanted Aljo to get out and get on top at least, but it's difficult. So he had to, cut his losses. And again, he didn't really take any damage down there.
Right.
If anything, he was smacking him in the ears. He was being threatening from bottom, but you know, we had to, in the corner, we had to go in there and let him say, listen, that round very well could be his. You know what I mean? We went in with the mentality, we need those next two rounds.
Sure.
Because, you know, judges, and Aljo was doing great up until that point. And even on bottom, I don't think that's not like he got steamrolled that round.
He was very active.
But because of the way, you don't know how people are judging things. If I'm judging, I'm thinking, you know, he's doing great. But he was on bottom for a lot of that round. So you have to say, look, man, chalk it up for them. They got that round. We need these next two rounds or it's over, Johnny.
I love watching Matt's guys fight because I listen for Matt, and you could hear him. You were yelling something about watch out for the explosion. You were yelling something like that, and then it was right before Barão did it. I was like, Matt's such a smart dude. I mean, you just saw it coming, like, look out for the explosion!
Yeah,
I always like when they're fighting Brazilians, too, because I know who's saying what,
and
there's no confusing your voice anyway. But I think you were saying that
anticipate.
That's right. Yes,
because it was especially when it's skin on skin. You know, it's different even with a t-shirt on. You could stay a little more glued to that back. But when it's skin on skin, it's so slippery. That's why I always wanted Aljo. It's like a seatbelt position. The arm, not the arm around the throat. He has to have the control the underhook on the other side and control that other far side, whether it's wrist or underhook, or even controlling his own wrist. Like a backpack, because if he loses that far side control, the guy could spin and end up on top.
Right.
And again, now you're on the back, now you're on the bottom of a guy who knows how to stay on top and control. And next thing you know, the judges could see that. So it was important, but I wasn't really worried because one of the things getting ready for this fight, we knew that Barão was very difficult to get down. But I go, Aljo, we don't have to get him down. We just have to get him to all fours to expose that back. Aljo's back take. And I probably told you this, guys, before.
Yeah.
Aljo's back take and the way he maintains the back control and his mount are world class.
Yeah.
As far as good as I've seen and I've been around. You know what I mean? So, I mean, it's just something very natural for him. He rides that back where he's just so hard to get him off. He's stuck to you. And I've seen him finish many guys that don't do MMA. They just strictly do jiu-jitsu. But he beats him in jiu-jitsu because he's that good in those positions.
Well, he's blended the wrestling and the jiu-jitsu beautifully.
Yeah. He's a black belt?
No, he's a purple belt in jiu-jitsu. Okay. But that doesn't mean he can't tap a black belt out or beat a black belt up in a fight. I mean, he's the last guy he fought, Mendez, he fought last time. What's his nickname?
Even if I knew
Tranquino. I'm fucking killing it. I don't know why I know this guy, dude. He's a good jiu-jitsu guy.
Augusto Mendez.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
What's his nickname again?
It's Tequino, right?
Yes! Oh, I suck.
No, you don't.
No, okay.
You had a little
I like that guy's jiu-jitsu. Is beautiful. That guy is world class, and you saw how Aljo did with him on the floor.
Yeah.
So I knew, I'm like, Aljo, you get this guy. This guy is so hard to hold down. When he gets up, he exposes that back. So again, Aljo went to take him down, hard to take down, but the second he's going to get up, Aljo's glued on his back. And I'm like, if he's not finishing from here, this is all around because it's going to end. And it was. And oh my man, I watched it again after on the, on our special fight pass. I watched Aljo's fight again. And it was, when he got on top at the end of that round, the second round, man, those elbows from that, watching it, I knew he landed some live. But when I saw that on tape, on film. What the fuck? What do you say? On tape? On TV?
Yeah, you rewatched. Oh, what? When you rewatched it?
Well, that's what I want to say. When I watched it on tape. Anyway, he fucking landed some beautiful elbows. He's got a nasty ground and pound. He's got those pointy elbows. He marked him up. And
didn't he drop heavy ones before the end of the round? It was right before the round ended.
Towards the end of the second round, he landed well placed elbows. Yeah. That were just him. Yeah, it was nasty. It was nasty. And he knows enough just to stay out of the way when Barral throws up that triangle to arm lock. He's been on the receiving end of that.
What did he have? His other arm inside, right?
Yeah, it's a.
Speaking like a true jiu-jitsu master.
No,
other arm inside, right?
To keep it simple. It's two arms in or two arms out. That's to keep it simple. You can't leave one arm in. Or you're in. Why are you moving around, Jimmy?
I'm just readjusting. I actually didn't do anything.
Okay. I just worry because you're smiling because we're having a good time, I don't know. I just don't know if you shit yourself sometimes.
I'm like bad dog sometimes. If I just look at the rug, you're like, what did you do?
No. Nothing. All you got to do, and I know you don't drink a beer, but when I'm looking at your lineup, I see water, a green drink, and I see coffee, and that just equals mess to me.
Yeah.
And I don't know what would. If I drank that, I'm not getting up for a while. But all right, back to fucking. Listen,
by the end of the second round.
Exactly.
He cut him with a heavy elbow.
He was beating him up with the elbows. Yes, that in between rounds, that third round, going into that third round, I felt great about it. I saw at the end of that second round, Brown didn't get up off the mat immediately. Like, I mean, he was, even if it's an extra second or two, he got up slowly. And I know Aljo started just to believe in his everything he's doing in sparring. I mean, and he never looked better standing. That third round, he went out. I mean, he went in with that lunging elbow when he comes in with a bah, and he's accurate, and he was believing in it, and he was having a good time, and he was expressing himself. And Aljo could be the John Jones of that division. He is that good. Yeah. And I was so impressed with what I was seeing.
His old classmate.
Yeah, exactly. But he's that talented. And I'm telling Longo, and I'm like, Longo, that is awesome, man. That's the first time, because Aljo a lot of times in the past could keep it in kicking range because he wasn't trusting being in that pocket as much. But his reflexes are so good that he could be right in there and just like wait for you to try to hit him, get out of the way and come back and hit you with two punches and a kick. He's that talented.
Yeah, he has that John Jones movement. You can see it. And you were yelling, I could hear you.
Express yourself.
Express yourself, Aljo. Yeah.
I was good. I love it. Dude, I was so happy because we're seeing now what we see back at home. And it's like, and Longo sees a lot more than me. Like, I'll make the sparring when I make the sparring, but I'm always watching their grappling. But from what I've seen in the sparring, I loved it. Now I'm seeing it in his fights, and Longo tells me, he goes, I couldn't shut up about it on the way home. Me and Longo were on the same flight and everything, and I can't stop talking about Al jokes. I'm so happy, and I'm happy for him. And again, this is a guy, how many fights ago, was down two fights, and he learns. It shows that he's learning, and not only is he learning.
Is he 14 and 2, Matt?
Yes, I think so. Okay. But those two came back to back, and they were close, and they were winnable fights. So it shows that he's overcoming that, and he's starting to, like Neo in the Matrix, he saw it and see it. He's seeing it. And when I kept talking, Longo goes, yeah, but you don't understand. He goes, that's actually nothing. He goes, put it this way, out of a 10, he goes, that was like a 4 with what he could do. I go, holy fuck. And he goes, you'll be amazed at what this kid does. He sees him sparring day in and day out.
Yeah.
And I think he could be future champ. Yeah. I want to see him with that next level, like, you know, with the Dillashaws and the champ and the Dominic Cruises. I mean, Aljo, you know, he could be there, you know, and he's going to be there. And I'm just super psyched. So, you know, just had to get that out of the way first because I'm so happy.
No, please,
he's my guy.
You.
And
I was very happy for you. He was great in that fight.
He's a great guy. And again, he's very entertaining. And
he's really unpredictable to watch. I love guys that start with kicks. They just throw a bunch of kicks. Yeah. Like, those guys are just fun to watch.
He's got that wrestling background, the strikes. There's so much stuff he could do. He's like a ninja.
That's the thing. When you can combine the striking skill, but then he's not afraid to go to the ground, that's very dangerous.
You put in the groundwork, mm-hmm. You put in straight up wrestling, and you put in the striking. He is awesome in each, and he's only getting better. And he just turned, I think, 28 today or yesterday. You know what I mean? So, I mean, or 29. I think 28. He's a young kid, and sky's the limit. for the Funk Master, Aljo Sterling, and I can't wait to see what's next for him. What a couple of weeks for the Cerro Longo team.
Absolutely.
I'm psyched.
I am too. I'm very happy for you.
You know?
But, we should segue that, dude, because Matt, you're talking about what an exciting fighter he is to watch.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to jump all over, but
Let's do it.
I want to go to Tyron Woodley, Damian Maia, because very mixed feelings about that. I tweeted something. I said, why the fuck are people booing Tyron Woodley? What would you like him to do? Lay on the ground and get strangled.
You're right. It's a barn burner, that one.
And it was, but
go ahead.
I did think it was a boring fight. I did not enjoy it the way I enjoy other fights. And yeah, I think Tyron maybe could have thrown a little bit more, but I would never have booed the guy for that. Because he's fighting the best Brazilian jiu-jitsu fighter in all of mixed martial arts. And the way he takes you down is he fucking shoots while you're striking.
Yeah.
And what do you want Tyron to do? He's stuffed. He's 24, I think, out of 24. Has that ever been done against Damian Maia?
No.
I mean, he knows what Maya's trying to do. If Maia gets him on... Yeah, I know that the other guys have been on the ground, on the bottom, and they've gotten up. But he understands that he's a bigger guy than Woodley is. And he can absolutely strangle you if he gets you on the ground. Yeah. So Woodley, maybe he did fight a little safer. But if he fights a little rougher...
You said a little?
Okay, a lot safer. Yeah. But let's just say he goes reckless and he throws more punches because he wants the cheers and he wants the knockouts.
You don't want
that. All
of
a sudden he shoots for a takedown and he's down and people will go, you won three rounds. How stupid are you? What are you doing to go for that knockout in the fourth round when you had three rounds won and you were doing well, your strategy was working? Look, Wonder Boy against Tyron Woodley. The second fight, I said I thought they were both too respectful of each other. That was not as exciting a fight as the first fight. Wonder Boy backed off a little bit because he knew if he made a mistake, he was on the ground, and fucking Tyron Woodley was very, very cautious in that fight. All right, I wanted more out of it. I got it. I know we want to see more exciting fights, but against Damian Maia, who did nothing but throw lefts and shoot for takedowns. So how is Woodley supposed to combat that? Right. Like, I don't know. I know Dana's coming from a business point of view, so it's a different thing when he goes, people aren't going to want to watch this guy fight. Like, I get that. I was bored during that fight.
Yeah.
I just didn't understand people booing him. That's what I didn't like. Like, you could say that fight wasn't as good or that fight stunk, but to boo the guy who's the champion and beats an animal like Damian Maia, who has been fucking crushing everybody, I don't like seeing him get booed. I just hate seeing fighters get booed when they win.
Right. It's you have to understand that. That's the thing, though. It's like people have to understand they're booing. Maia gets a hold of you, there's a great chance he's going to tap you. You got
to
be very careful.
Almost like the work you have to put in to stuff 24 out of 24 fucking takedowns. Yeah, maybe he should have thrown more strikes.
Was it 17?
I want to say it was 24.
It was over 20. It was somewhere 24. Between 20 and 24, yeah. You know, unofficially, yeah.
All right.
That's just my take on it.
I'm ready to give my take when you're done, though.
Okay, buddy. That's just my take.
I don't want to interrupt.
I didn't want to see him get booed.
Yeah.
But I do wish it was a more exciting fight. Of course, I did. I was with a girl watching. I was like, I'm bored watching this fight.
Yeah. Well, you weren't alone. All right. My take. All right. Is it a game or is it a fight? That's the thing. Oh, you want to win the game? All right, you can win the game. Guy can't get you down. You hit him a little bit. Or is it a fight? If it's a fight, how I look at it, all right, you're taking away his attack. He wants to get you on the ground. You're taking away. You're taking away beautifully. Now, how are we taking him out? Oh, we're not taking him out. We're just going to look to keep taking away his offense. Ray Longo, he'll make a case that it was Maia won that fight. A lot of other guys are saying that as well, all right? Because he's trying to impose his will. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to do what he always tries to do. All right, let me say that first, then I'll say what things I would like to have seen from him or if he could have implemented.
Okay.
But as far as his objective, he's trying to do what he's always trying to do. He's bringing the fight, okay? Woodley did what nobody else could do. He took away that takedown, or you know what I mean? Or I shouldn't say nobody else. I know, you know, as far as in the welterweight division, I should say. You know, he took that away. He took away that takedown time and time again, like you said, but very rarely made him pay for it. There was like, and listen, you could say, well, hey man, if he tries to make him pay for it, he can get taken down or he can get, yeah, that's true. But I mean, what if Maia had the same, all right, listen, man, if I try to get a hold of him, I can get knocked out. I'm just going to stay on my ass. I'm just going to stay on. I'm going to shoot from a mile away and just lay down and wait for him to come to me. He wasn't doing that.
But
he was trying.
I can only ask you because, again, with Dominic Cruz, didn't it change the way he was shooting for takedowns, though? After a while, wasn't he shooting from far away? Because he got tagged so horribly in that first round, almost closed his eye. Didn't Dominic Cruz say he was just kind of falling and trying to pull him into guard?
He did it a couple of times, but it didn't work out for him.
Right.
But he was still initiating and trying. And then Woodley would take it away and try to land something. If he tried to land something, what I heard, I think Dana said it, and it's just fact that, or I think Rogan said it at the end. Joe Rogan said it. It had a record for the least amount
by a lot. Yeah, thrown. By a lot. Sure.
And so it's like, hey man. And again, everything's easier said. Oh yeah, what would you do in there with it? No, you know what? You're gonna have to try to take the guy out, start on his body, land on his head, take it away. He's not getting you down. He's not even really getting that close to getting you down. So you got to do your feints. You got to try to take him out. You're not trying to take him out.
I think
you're just trying to take away his offense. So
I think what Woodley was trying to do is hope for that one feint that worked him in the knock. He was hoping for a knockout punch.
Yeah, I mean, but he's not doing anything to really initiate that. He's just taking away Maya's offense. When you take away the guy's offense, all right, take it away. Maybe he's getting tired. When are you going to spring on him? Are we looking to put the guy away? Or are we content on just saying, all right, man, you're not doing anything to me, and I'm the champ, so I'm just going to win. All right, now look. You won, but what did... I mean, first of all, you don't want to take stupid risks where it's just like, all right, go in. Man, maybe I'll knock him out. Maybe he'll just take me down. No, but there's got to be a certain amount of risk in there. You know what I mean? And then there is a big reward. Like even Dana said afterwards, hey, man, there's no risk, yet no reward types of thing. And I do see where he's coming from with that.
Two questions for that. It's about his gas, too. Because there was that thing that they said, well, Woodley might gas. Could he be fighting a certain way because he knows his cardio? Again, it's just a question. Also, it was both times against Thompson. It was in the fourth round that he had his explosion. So I'm wondering, has he learned, because he's now fighting five-round fights a lot, that, fuck, man, I don't want to get tired by the third. I mean, I'm not saying it's the most exciting shit to watch, but could he, knowing his own body, go, I have to pace myself or I'm a dead man later, and then hope for that explosion that just didn't happen in the fourth and fifth round?
No, that I don't think that's going to be a phenomenal game plan of trying to, you know, just because he landed some big shots with Wonderboy in the fourth or fifth round. You know what I mean? You're saying try to conserve his own energy?
No, keep expecting, like, okay, I'll have this moment. Yeah. Not necessarily saying fourth or fifth round. It might even happen in the second round. But keep saying, okay, as you're fighting, I'm going to have this moment. I know it's going to come, but I have to feel it. And then against Maya, it just didn't come where he felt it. I just didn't like seeing him get booed. That's my whole thing.
Well, listen, I don't either, but, I mean, at the same time, you know, you're gonna have to try to take that guy out. Like again, and I keep pointing. I'm watching it in the green room, you know, with a lot of the other fighters on the undercard. There's the big green room. Yeah, you've been there before, Jimmy. So you know, everybody's eating and watching the fights, and I'm telling you, like Longo goes, man, tell me how Woodley won the fight. I go, you know, he goes, tell me how he won. I mean, if you want to address it to damage, yeah, okay, he won with damage, but that could have been done in the first round or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, what did he do to win that fight? He took away the other guy's offense. He took away his takedowns. What did he do? So it's like, I remember when he was getting ready, he goes, I wouldn't be surprised if they gave this to Maya. He goes, I'd give this to Maya. Fucking Longo was very adamant about it. And although, you know, again, Maya couldn't really do anything. And I not that you should judge it just on
he did nothing. He was so ineffective, dude. He was very throwing a left, shooting for a takedown. See, then he fell down once, and I don't even know if Tyron knocked him down. Tyron knocked him down twice, I think. Yeah. And then he falls down, and he flops back the way. Come on. Yeah. Like people were right about Tyron maybe not throwing enough punches. But what was Maya doing to adjust? What was Maya doing when he realized his takedowns weren't working besides throwing a left jab and then following him around the ring, hoping he could land a left jab? Like he was doing nothing
well,
different.
Well, the thing that kind of stinks about Maya's phenomenal. I mean, how many wins did he have in a row? And I'm a jiu-jitsu guy at heart,
and a good one.
Thank you. But you know, my thing is, Woodley was not worried at all. He has so much success at just imposing his will that if it's not broke, why fix it? He felt that was going to work, and he was really trying to. You got to give him credit for sticking to his game plan. He tried to impose his will. The problem with Meyer is he's not threatening in the striking.
Cruz kept saying, why did he throw a left kick?
Yeah, I mean, he landed a couple of shots, but he's not landing them. He's landing them with the intention of making the guy think about a strike compared to landing it to really hurt somebody.
But the fact that they're booing Tyron and not booing Maya, like they both made that fight and they both adjusted. The reason Damian Maya fought a certain way is because he knew coming in, Tyron Woodley could fucking knock his block off, and he got it. He felt it in the first round, and I think he became very cautious, and he knew. I mean, again, that's what he does.
He does that every fight. But sure. I mean, if he had
how come no one's shitting on him?
If he had a left kick, if he had a powerful left kick, you don't have to worry about getting taken down. So you could really lay in, you know, lay into him.
And they also
and if a guy goes to block it, like we were telling Aljo during his fight, you know, throw that kick, it'll break his forearm. Throw it. You want to hit his head? If he blocks that with his forearms, that'll break his forearm.
So Liddell got his arm broken against Rich Franklin.
Yeah, man.
Oh no, Rich Franklin against Liddell. Sorry, Liddell kicked him.
Yeah. So I mean, that's what. So I mean, you have that kind of intent,
right?
Ah. You're not seeing that at Amaya. So, and I mean, so it's really not too much to worry about. That's why you even saw Woodley's hands a little low. That's why if he shoots, he could really look to hand fight or get under hooks. He never got his hands together.
And he was bent a lot of times. Again, he was constantly worried about that. And he also said that Maya was stronger, and Maya hit him hard a few times. Like, I think Maya was stronger than he expected to be and hit harder than he expected him to. So he's also got his respect.
Yeah, well, Maya threw a lot more strikes, I felt like, when he was at middleweight. Yeah. You know, he was more stand-up. It wasn't just trying to go for the takedown.
You know, I feel if he really let loose with those, it'll because he was really just worried about the takedowns. He wasn't. That's why Maya even landed a few standing, because he's not worried at all. He's not giving any respect to his stand-up. So that would, you know, again, hindsight's always 20/20. The guy has been doing what he's been doing as far as Damian Maya, and it's been working for him at welterweight, fight after fight after fight. Why should he think it'd be any different? I mean, I know, you know, but then again, listen, Woodley went in there saying he had the best takedown defense of any welterweight, right? So it's, and he proved it. So that, but then after you take that away, you got Maya in there. He's a big guy with a big, long body. Rip that body. And then he gets a hold of you. You're taking away the shit anyway. You think Maya's looking tired? Let's see how tired he is after you fucking have Tyron rip his body with a couple shots.
That's true.
You know what I mean? You don't have to headhunt and just look for that knockout. That's not a bad game plan. Rip him. Start low. Start at the navel up. Bang, 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 bang. You know? Or do a few of those each round. Then see what happens in the later rounds. So, again, I'm the guy on the outside.
Sure.
But fuck it. I was on the inside once. You certainly were. I can say whatever the fuck I want.
You certainly can.
And now Tyron has lost the opportunity to fight
Bisping.
GSP.
Yeah, GSP. Yeah. Sorry, I was going to go to Bisping. Yeah,
we're
going to
talk about that now. But I'm fired up, Jimmy. You know what? I didn't work out this morning.
That's all right. You still, you know, your opinion, it carries a lot of weight because you know you were in there. I just didn't like seeing him get booed. I'm like, they're booing this guy. And I guess even though I was bored watching the fight and I was like, oh, come on. I wasn't angry about it. I was like, fucking the fact that he is stuffing him 24 out of 24. I never thought I'd see anybody do that to Maya. And it also annoyed me that Maya was doing the same thing. So I was more annoyed.
You know who else
Maya.
Was annoyed?
Who?
Dana.
The boss was not happy. But he's coming from a business point of view, and I do understand that. Like, I'm not just because he's my boss either, but the reality is he's looking to sell fights, and he says, who's going to want to watch Tyron fight? Hey, look, you're probably right about that. That's not going to be a good fight to sell pay-per-views on. It's just not.
And that really stinks for him, I mean, Tyron, because that GSP fight would be interesting, how GSP would deal with his...
GSP got the same criticism, though, because he would just stay on top of guys, and a lot of people didn't like watching GSP fights.
No, but GSP was taking him down, trying to get finished.
I know, but I'm saying he did get criticized for
that. Yeah, but I mean... No, of course. Yeah, you always... Listen, when you're the top guy, you always get criticized, but... Where is it warranted? You know what I mean?
Sure.
GSP wasn't finishing guys, but GSP also, you know, only lost twice to very dangerous guys. I got to throw that in there.
What was the most recent loss GSP
had? Ages ago. I remember. Back in like 2007 at UFC 69 in Texas. Yeah. But listen, that was ages ago. And since then, he changed up his game. And he closed the distance really well. Longo doesn't care about that... the GSP versus Bisping fight. Do you want to see that? I want to see it, Jimmy.
I'd rather see Bisping. I know Robert Whittaker is out. I'd rather see Bisping fight somebody else.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't mind personally. Well, let's think about it. Think about the division right now. I mean, I know Chris just got a win, but he's coming off a few losses. I don't want to hurt his case for any fucking thing. I would much rather see Weidman.
Of course.
But, I mean, people are going to make a thing about that, saying, oh, but he's, you know, coming all back and this and that. I don't want to do nothing to hurt his case. That's
no,
my guy.
But I, that's what I would rather see. Not that I don't so like happy, not, so I respect GSP a lot. But I mean, coming back in, it hurt BJ when he came back in.
Right.
And again, I know he fought a much different guy, like
he
younger
wants
guy.
This fight, though.
GSP is going to be fighting a guy who's in the same age group. It's a different fight with GSP and Bisping than it would be Yair Rodriguez against BJ Penn. But I'm just not clamoring to see it. I'll watch it. I'm sure I'll enjoy it. You know what I did enjoy?
Talk to me.
God. It's mixed emotions. It's mixed emotions.
What did you enjoy?
I was so happy and so sad at the same time.
Talk to me. Now I'm in suspense, Jimmy.
I was extremely happy for Jonny Bones Jones because I love John Jones. And the fact is, the reality is, man, I like to see a guy fuck up everything. And he fucked up everything. And then he comes back. And that's a tough win. And he fucking, I didn't think he was winning that fight. Or if he did, it was close. I mean, fuck it. I thought Cormier looked incredible. You could say that he was striking more. Maybe Jones was ahead 2-0. But Cormier looked great.
Yeah, I thought
he
it
looked
was
different
1-1.
Throwing combinations,
yeah,
kicking. I thought
cool.
He looked tremendous. He was getting him up against the cage. He was landing inside uppercuts. And he was doing looking great. And then fucking that long, awful shin.
That kick.
Against the side of his head.
You know what I liked
I
about
so
when he landed the kick? First of all, you know, it's a given that we love DC. And we, you know, and John Jones too. But after he landed that kick, what I really like, as far as the technique wise, was when Jones was following him around, and instead of just headhunting, you seen him kick
body,
low,
yeah.
Kick his, he foot swept. He like kicked his leg out.
From oh, he tripped him, yeah.
It was so cool. And that was so smart. I mean, because.
Didn't he hit him
saw,
going across the cage?
Yeah,
too?
He was beating him across the cage, but when he was following him, you saw, like, you know, you don't, Daniel Cormier has a good chin. And Jones knew he had to stay on him. But it was really smart the way he kicked that foot out.
Yeah.
Just because he saw that DC was trying to just get some space to get his, you know, head
bearings
back together.
Bearings together
yes.
Or balance, yeah.
And he kicked that foot out, and then he just followed him up and vicious, vicious. I mean, look. Big John did give him every chance to try to stay in.
A couple shots too many, I think. I think Dana Rogan did the same thing, but I did agree.
It is a rough, it is a definitely tough position.
Because it's Cormier. Has he never been knocked down before?
Imagine if he stopped it and he jumps right up afterwards and he's, you know what I mean? So he's in a very tough position.
I mean, Rumble has caught him a couple of times, but he was really in trouble.
Yeah, it was really bad.
So did he go down with Rumble? Maybe he did when he had the first Rumble fight.
He kind of like rolled off it, you know what I mean? But he regained his composure.
Okay, so let me ask you this as a fighter. I will admit this. That when I was seeing DC cry in the background, I got choked up watching that. It was hard to watch. I teared up a little watching with a girl. I was like, oh, I hope she doesn't look at me. And then when John started complimenting him, I felt fucking bad. I was a watery-eyed little fucking bitch boy fan.
Yeah.
I acknowledge it. I was a swooning girl watching. Oh, dabbing my cheek.
Well, you know what I do like, though, a lot?
Men.
What, come again? You know what I do like about the fight game, and I should have thrown that in there, is I really do like that John Jones was a very good winner.
I agree.
You know what I mean? He could have been nasty. He could have been horrible. There's guys that are not good winners. He's a good winner, and he did the right thing, and he went over. He went above and beyond to be gracious to DC after that.
He's my rival, my biggest rival, yeah.
He just said so many nice things, and you could tell. And I like when he kept saying, what a beautiful moment, because it really was. It was a beautiful moment for him and his everybody around him.
And you know his mom passed away, so you know that was there too. Like,
no,
you know,
listen, like, the guy, he deserves all the credit in the world. He's a phenomenal fighter, and he just looked good all week, man. I was there at the weigh-ins, and I'm watching. I'm like, this guy looks great.
But
the bald head's working for him.
I agree. It was a little odd. Did you think,
what?
After the first round, I thought Jones looked less confident. Like in between rounds, maybe you could, I don't know if you where you were when you were watching it, but on TV, I'm like, Cormier is, I think, shocked him a little bit with how well he was fighting, because Jones looked a little bit like, okay. And then I think it was Greg Jackson telling me, all right, give me some deep breaths. Like he seemed lightly panicked or lightly like, okay, there's a problem. This guy's fighting way better than I expected him.
After the second round, I thought John, I mean, obviously he's in great shape and he ended up winning the fight, but he seemed like he was a little bit but he seemed a little more tired, and Cormier seemed way more composed.
Yeah, Cormier seemed like he was just in a bit more a perfect working order.
Yeah.
But again, Jones is so resilient.
Oh, yeah.
So I felt terrible. And, you know, look, Rogan interviewed him. Rogan said he would not interview fighters, and I believe Joe, and I believe his explanation. I just got caught up in the moment. I saw him there, and I ran over to ask him. That Joe loves fighters. He loves Daniel Cormier. He just ran over, and he apologized profusely for it. He realized he thought he made a mistake. But it wasn't done. I don't think it was done to be exploitive. It wasn't done out of disregard for DC. He loves DC. It was just one of those dumb things you do in a moment.
Yeah, Joe's a good dude, man.
And there's all these memes going on. It's funny. A fan got mad at me on Twitter.
Why?
Because I liked one of the crying memes. Like, I really did get choked up watching it, and I felt terrible.
Yes.
And I hated that people were saying mean shit to Cormier on Twitter. Like, mean, like, yeah, fuck him. He's craha. Like,
they did that?
Like that he lost.
And ask me again why I'm not on Twitter.
But the memes, like there's a famous one of Jordan, you know, Michael, the fucking third baseman from Mike Schmidt.
Yeah.
From the Phillies, the crying, like sports crying. And there's a picture of him crying, and some of the memes were funny, but they weren't nasty. There was one of him crying, and it was like when your older brother has two ice pops and you have one. It was just silly.
Yeah, that's funny. Right, that's a funny one.
That's something DC will look back at and go, all right, that was okay.
Right.
I didn't like mean shit or stuff that was hurtful, because I love the guy. But someone's like, "You, what kind of fan are you?" I'm like, what?
Well, listen,
I love the guy.
There's pricks out there. I mean, there's people like that are miserable. What I find a lot with the haters and people like that, or when somebody fails and people get happy, that's the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
It's a projection. It goes back to their own lives and what they're, oh, they're unhappy. So, oh, look, this guy's unhappy. Oh, good. Be miserable like the rest of us.
Here's what made me very sad about DC.
Tell me.
And I really was terribly sad about him losing. But again, I was happy for Jones, but because he's going to say to himself, I was a paper champion. I wasn't. That little voice, even though it's not real, you know how that self-doubt is going to be there. It can't not be there. It's gonna haunt him, even though it's like, dude, you fucking beat Gustafson. You beat fucking Rumble, that fucking monster, twice. Yeah. Like, you've put him out of fighting. Cormier has zero to be ashamed. Like, literally, Jones is just the one guy. That was the guy he couldn't beat. For who knows? Jones may have that guy. We just haven't met him yet, like, that he just can't beat. Most fighters have one. You know who doesn't have that guy? So far, Floyd Mayweather hasn't had that guy that he can't beat. That's it. Yeah. Everyone else had that guy he couldn't beat. So, he has nothing to be ashamed of. And I know that's easy for me to say sitting here. But it was heartbreaking watching him cry like that. Heartbreaking.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, that is the game we play, Jimmy.
Yeah.
And you know what else that night? A lot of other guys, you know, fought.
Fucking amazing. What an
I'm looking at this card. I talked to Jimmy.
Norton?
I always talk to Jimmy. we're coming really
Well, wait, good. Before we move on from the Jones Cormier thing, John Jones called out Brock Lesnar.
Oh, my God. You know what? Oh, yeah, I was just about to yell at Chris for interrupting the boss.
But, I was about to Chris say, what is 100% the fuck is
right.
Problem?
Yeah, no, you Chris is right. We stink. Because I asked Jones, if you do remember.
Sorry, I'm opening up a protein cookie.
You enjoy a cookie.
It's a protein cookie, though.
That's my nickname for it.
He's grabbing his
protein
dick.
Cookie. I asked John Jones about possibly moving up to heavyweight, and what did Bones say?
Yeah, I would love to become a two-weight class champion. I think it's going to happen eventually. I just want to wait until I find the perfect matchup. I want to find a guy who is a champion and he only weighs about 235. And that guy back when I came was the champion. You know, he was a guy that, I'm no idiot, dude. You get a really talented big guy versus a really talented small guy. The small guy is at a major disadvantage.
Sure.
And right now, Stipe has been doing great in the heavyweight division. And I hope I'm not coming across as a pussy, because I'm not.
No, it's honest.
By any means. But I just rather fight somebody who I feel stylistically would just be a much better matchup, especially because I would be giving up, sacrificing 30, 40 pounds of muscle.
Okay. So logically, after he wins, he calls out the biggest gorilla in the entire fucking, he calls out fucking Brock. That's the first thing I thought of, was how funny it was. Brock fights at what, 265, 264? But then again, I just re-listened to that and he goes, stylistically. So maybe he thinks stylistically he matches up well, but I got to be honest, even if Brock is off steroids, there's going to be a lot of, that's a dangerous fight for Jones. Because again, Brock has this ability to get you down, and no matter how great Jones is, that is a very tough guy to get off the floor when he's on top of you and he's pounding you, man. Has anybody been able to get up yet? I mean,
yeah, man, Kane.
Kane, yes, you're right. Kane was able to, but Kane is, you know, a bit of a bigger
Jones
guy.
Jones is a hard guy to get down.
So you think he might do well against Brock?
I think he'll beat the shit out of Brock Lesnar.
Wow, okay.
How about that's not going the distance?
I said that was a dangerous fight for Jones.
No, you know, he would try to...
Sam agrees with you, my radio partner.
Yeah.
So I would say that. I would root for Jones very heavily in that, but I think that's a tough fight for him.
Oh, wait, who does Sam Roberts say he's going to win?
He thinks that he loves Brock too, but he thinks that Jones is 10 years younger and just so good.
Yeah. And not for nothing. He's really... John Jones is getting good in jiu-jitsu. Like he did some submission. He submitted Dan. I know he's a lot smaller than Brock Lesnar, but Dan Henderson he submitted in a grappling match.
That's right.
That's just a straight up grappling
match.
He
just got his blue belt.
And I want to congratulate him on that. I know he's training jiu-jitsu. You see him in a gi and everything. And it was on one of the Embedded?
Embedded. Yeah.
And he was super excited. You saw him in there with the Karate Hottie
Holly Holm.
And he was, you know, there was like a promotion day, and he got his blue belt, and he was psyched. He did his yell like he won the title right there. So, congrats on your blue belt. I'm very happy that he's learning the art of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and he's doing it the right way. There's some guys that there's Jiu-Jitsu guys that want to be attached to a certain fighter because if they do well, they'll be like, oh, he's a belt under this guy. I like that John Jones is doing it the right way, and he's not taking any shortcuts because there's guys that got given like black belts and they never even wore a gi or they don't know that right. they might be tough to roll with, but they don't know the ins and outs of the art. I don't even know if they know how to get out of a headlock correctly. They don't know they don't know the art. And then instructors want to be like, oh man, every time this guy fights, they'll say a so-and-so's black belt. And then so they hand them a black belt. So it's like, what the fuck is that?
Good point.
So I like that John Jones isn't doing that. He's learning the art. And then on the very first belt promotion that you get is from white belt to blue belt, and the guy's psyched. You know what I mean? And that guy could beat the shit out of many black belts, all the black belts. Sure. I don't know. The guy's fucking phenomenal. But he's learning the art. That's a very humble thing.
So you think he would beat Brock?
Yes, I do.
Even if Brock gets him down?
If Brock gets him down, what's he going to do to him? Just beat him up?
He's just, because he's so big and so strong. At least he held I know Mark Hunt is not the rounded fighter, but he was able to avoid Mark.
Yeah, he's rounded fighter like me. He's rounded.
But I mean,
he's round.
But I mean, Mark Hunt's fucking uppercut. There's nobody in the fucking MMA that has an uppercut, I don't think, like Mark Hunt. And Brock was able to not get that in the fucking face shooting in.
Yeah, but you put Mark Hunt in his guard and going in John Jones's guard and see who's going to have a harder time. You know what I mean? John Jones is a tall, lanky dude. And we're yet to see. You see him jump for a flying triangle on DC in their first fight. I don't know if you remember that. It was at the end of a round. DC got out of it, but we don't even know how he's going to be on his back. He could be very dangerous, or he cannot take damage, get out, get up.
You might be right. I'm just saying that when I've seen Brock on the ground, he has been brutal and very, very hard to get up from. He's a hard guy to get out from under. And I'm thinking purely of weight. And you're giving away, dude, 30-something pounds. That's a lot of weight to give away. It's like John be fighting it. Say, John fights 205. What's he walk around at? 225, maybe 230? See, he fights at 230. You're still giving away 35 fucking pounds. It's
hard to get down. Brock Lesnar despises getting hit.
And he couldn't, that's true, and he didn't take Overeem down, did he? I don't think Brock he wasn't 100% healthy when he lost that fight. I don't think he took Alistair Overeem down.
Overeem took a duty on him.
Yeah,
that's the technical term.
But he was still,
I'm going to be very technical and professional. That's why I don't do Fox analysts.
Why? You said duty, they'd allow that. He took a duty
on him. Imagine me on the Fox panel. And what is your take versus him versus... Oh, he took a total duty on him. Now back to you, Brian. I don't fucking know. Go ahead.
What'd you think of... all right, we got to talk this. How about Lawler Cerrone?
Yes.
What an amazing
fight. I enjoyed it, man.
That was incredible.
And I like the way Lawler came out, man. Just looking.
I thought he was going to finish him in the first 2 minutes.
Making it looking to rough him up in the beginning. And, I'm fine. I thought the decision was just.
I do too. I thought
that
Cerrone
good lost. For Robbie, man. Robbie did great.
Yeah.
You know?
But Cowboy's also very impressive because he has a great chin. Like, he was getting beaten up badly in that first round. And then to come back in the second round and fight as well, and he wound up finding his range, and he's throwing kicks and combinations. Like, I thought he looked really good in the second. I'm like, I'm always impressed when a guy, like that's what I love about Frankie Edgar, like you're getting the shit beaten out of you in the first round at one point, and then by the second round or later in that round, you're composed and you're fighting well. It's impressive.
Happy for Robbie.
I was too, man. It's
very happy for Robbie
Lawler. He took the belt.
Man, he took that break, and good for him, man. Now he's back in the mix, and he took out a very, very tough guy in Donald Cerrone.
And don't think that we're forgetting. We're obviously going to talk about Cyborg. We can have a very brief discussion about Uzdemir against Manoa.
Manoa, I seen at the weigh-ins. What a great guy. I told him you're a fan, too. He's just what a nice guy.
He's from England. He doesn't know who I am.
He knows who you are. No, he listens.
Oh, okay.
Are you winking because you're twitching, or are you winking because you're just...
Both. Twitching? I'm attracted to you, and I twitch a lot. You know that, Matt. I'm a mess.
Jimmy, you're not a mess.
I'm a mess. Look
at the shape you're in.
I'm a messy boy.
Jimmy, we're going to talk more about the fights, but I'm so fat right now.
You're not fat right
now.
I
have to get back, Jimmy. Longo lost a lot of weight.
You can do it.
And it's not good. I'm going to... Is it August yet?
It is.
What's today's
2 days.
No, but when people are listening to this, it's August 1st.
I'm going to get a slice of pizza today. Know why? Because I got to start on the first. When the people are listening to this, I'm starting my diet.
Okay, my love.
Should I diet all of August?
Well, you try the whole 30 is a good diet. I have no best.
What?
The whole 30 diet. It's tough, but it's good.
What'd you just say?
The whole 30.
What the fuck is that?
It's a diet. Well, don't be mad at me.
I'm sorry, but what does that mean, the whole 30?
I love Matt.
30 days?
Yeah, no, it's whole 30. You just...
Maybe Google that? Just can Google you tell me? What
whole
is it?
30, W-H-O-L-E 30.
But what am I going to do?
It's just it's a guide for dieting, and it talks about what to eat and what not to eat. And again, I have no interest in it. I'm not being paid by them. I'm just saying it's an effective diet.
Yeah,
it works
for me.
I
know what to do.
Well, knowledge is no defense against our behavior. I think that sometimes a new kick in the butt, I know a lot of things, but it doesn't mean anything. I know I can get a girl pregnant, but if you show me a condom, I'll kick you in the fucking face.
me too. Throw it on the floor. I'll step on it. But the thing is this, Jimmy. I just got to have, I have to have that thing. What is it? I used to have it when I fought. Willpower.
Well, willpower is one thing, but motivation to do it because you're going to be fighting is a big difference.
It's true.
Don't have that anymore. You paid your dues. Now, Jimmy Manoa, I mean, I'm not surprised that Ozdemir can knock somebody out. But the bottom line is to see Manoa go out that fast was shocking. He just got caught. I mean, that was a fucking brutal.
Yeah.
The other guy said he had no time. Right? What's his
name? That's his new nickname now. Vulcan No Time Uzdemir. I like what he said in the post fight where they were like, you know, what do you think? And he's like, I don't know where the power's coming from, but I got dynamite in my hand, which he obviously does.
He was a pretty honest guy.
Yeah.
And
what's Manoa, 39 or 37? I felt kind of bad for him just when those guys are getting up there.
Wait, how old is he that old?
I don't know if he's that old.
Okay.
What are you?
He's 37, yeah.
Okay. Oh, is he 37?
Yeah.
He looks good for his age.
As a man of advanced years, I understand. I recognize other men of advanced years, and I tend to feel for them. And like Maya was 39. That's who I'm thinking of.
Right.
Maya's 39. So whenever a guy loses at that age, you're always like, wow, man, it's tough to get back.
Yeah.
Yeah. True. I mean, you know, you want a title shot. It's a long road to get back on.
What is he ranked now? What is Uzdemir or Uzdemir? I always say his name incorrectly.
It's Uzdemir.
All right, cool. Uzdemir was he in the top 10?
He was 5.
Oh, he's 5. Okay.
The new rankings haven't come out, but I would assume he's going to probably just flip flop with Manoa now. He'll probably be 3.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Before I forget, you know, I forgot to write him back. I got to message him back. Gunnar Nelson's father hit me up again.
Oh.
And he was like, hey, listen, I don't like to make excuses. And he's a good guy. He's not saying it the wrong way. He goes, listen, my son would never say it, but, you know, and he put like pictures of his son getting blinded with those pokes in the eyes.
Oh.
So he's like, look, I'm just saying this. And then after this many seconds after he gets it. So listen, Mr. Nelson, I call him Mr. Nelson because, you know,
sure.
I'm polite and it's his father. And he's a fan of the show. I told you that.
Yeah, you did.
And no, we understand, buddy. Yeah. We know how it works, man. I mean, when I fought BJ Penn, I was like a cyclops 30 seconds into that thing. I lifted up his leg. He gave me a short punch. That wasn't even a poke. I can't even complain. But I was seeing double for like a month after. It felt like somebody had their finger in my eye and I'm looking
scary
sideways. But
anybody can get caught too. And Ponzinibbio hits fucking hard. And no one doubts how great Gunnar is.
You know we're a huge fan of your son, Mr.
Yeah, Nelson. And he's such a hard guy to fight and such an interesting guy to watch.
And he was looking great up until then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
If a guy just gets caught that happens to everybody. I think that those guys, like almost any fighter in a division, can knock out almost any fighter in a division if you catch them right. It happens.
Listen, like I said, this is the game we play. Before we get into some of these prelims that I want to talk about.
Well, I had to talk about being tough.
Oh, go ahead.
I just, you know, because I'm getting yelled at.
Talk to me, Jimmy. What do you want to talk about?
Well, UFC fighters are tough, man. I've said that.
Yeah.
But you know what else is tough?
What?
Toyo tires.
What tires?
Toyo tires.
Toyo.
That's why Toyo has been a proud sponsor of the UFC, because they relate to fighters.
Toyo!
Just like the UFC fighters, Toyo tires are built for battle. And they really do have it's an all or nothing philosophy. What? Durability, aggressive design.
Mm.
Oh, on and off road capabilities? I don't know. What's the answer? Yes to all of those great things. Living life on the highway, Toyo has you covered.
You're
spending some serious time on the road? They have the tire for that too. No matter what you drive, Toyo has what you need. And frankly, these tires just look cool. Like, that's a great thing. Nobody wants to have great tires that suck when you look at them. Nobody wants sucky looking. You know what's great for snow? Chains on your tires, but they look stupid, so nobody likes that.
Yeah.
Any vehicle, every terrain, all or nothing, Toyo tires. The next time you need tires, ask for Toyo, T-O-Y-O. To experience more, visit toyotires.com/UFC. toyotires.com/UFC.
Can I say it again?
Please do.
Toyo!
Tires/UFC.
It's fun to say.
It is fun to say.
Toyo.
Support for UFC Unfiltered comes from our good friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. They understand that home plays a big role in your life and family, obviously. That's why they created Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage gives you the confidence you need when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan, and it's such an intimidating process for all of us. Look, this is really simple. Allowing you to fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you, whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th. With Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process that gives you the confidence to make an informed decision. It's convenient. Our trusted partners allow you to share your financial information with Rocket Mortgage at the touch of a button. And in addition to getting a real mortgage approval in minutes, you can even adjust the rate and length of your loan in real time to make sure you're getting the right solution for you. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/unfiltered. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS. ConsumerAccess.org. Number 3030. No, what you say? I apologize. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, that ship has sailed, my friend. But the ship came back for the GSP thing. They thought that ship sailed. That thing came back.
It did.
Thank goodness.
You want to see that fight?
I like. I'm not thank goodness for. I mean, I'm looking forward to that fight. I think it's interesting. Yeah. GSP, his whole thing is getting a guy down, but Bisping's really hard. Not only hard to get down, he's hard to keep down. So, I mean, I think it's really a hard fight for George. I really do.
I think Bisping wins the fight.
It's a hard fight for George, man. It really is, you know?
Because of the layoff, that makes it harder. I mean, then again, Bisping's coming off a layoff, too.
I think the layoff might have helped that dude, but let's see. And he's still young. Really quick, not really quick, we got some time, but before we get to that undercard, we really didn't talk about Chris Cyborg yet.
Cyborg against Tanya Evinger, that was that was a great fight.
I mean, listen, Tanya Evinger, you got to give her credit, man.
Very
I mean,
tough.
She's definitely a tough girl, yeah. Man. She wasn't in there just for a payday. She was trying.
Were you shocked that she wasn't going down with some of those shots? Like, she has a much better chin than I thought she did. And Jermaine Durandamay, look, I don't know what the fuck she was thinking to not take this fight. And I think they mentioned her during that fight saying, do you think she's regretting it? But you just got to go out there and lose. Like, if you're going to lose to Cyborg, I get it. She's scary. I don't want to fuck with her. But you got it. That's why that division was there. You knew that going in. You threw a couple of fucking shots after the bell. You beat Holly. You got to fight Cyborg.
Holly would have took that fight. I'd still like
Holly
to
would
see.
Fucking
First
take
of all,
that fight in
I'd
a second.
Still like to see that fight.
Holly will take that fight.
Well, that's what's that Dana said that after the fact, after the you know, in his press conference, he was saying that he talked to Holly and he'd like to see that happen. Him versus Cyborg.
You know, I also was talking to Kat Zingano when I was out there. Big cat fan.
Yeah, you like Kat.
Meow. No, seriously, big cat fan. She's awesome. Cool girl. Cool girl to talk to. And she said she's down to fight her anytime. She'd love to. She said,
"What does she walk around at?"
I have no clue.
Yeah, it's hard to ask.
I think it's polite to
ask. No. I know. You could ask John.
I go, "What are you weighing, Kat?" No. She looked in shape, and you know, she said she'd be dying. She'd love for that fight. She's very confident. Kat Zingano's a tough chick, man. She's a tough fighter.
And they're gonna have to go up, and maybe some of these fighters will do well going up a little bit, so they won't have to deal with the weight cut.
Listen,
isn't that what Evinger did? She went up a few pounds.
Tanya,
she was the bantamweight champion of Invictus.
Yeah, so she went up. Went up 10.
She did make Cyborg look human.
She did.
It's not if she would it would have been two punches and she's laid out. I think it would have been oh man. But you know, Jermaine must have been home watching that thing, saying shit, man. I could have been a hero.
What a terror! Even if she lost. If it was a good fight, you might have a rematch because there's not that many people for her to fight.
Hey, Gina Carano fought her back in the day. Remember that?
Yeah. I don't.
What's the matter with
you? I can't lie.
Okay. Gina Carano. You know who Gina Carano is?
Of course I do. I've interviewed her.
She's great, Gina
I just didn't remember that particular
fight. Now she's doing well. She was in Deadpool.
She's doing movies. Yeah, she's great.
Yeah, she fought Colossus.
She's choked me before.
Did she?
Has she choked you?
No. Ooh, you're so cool. Sorry, Jimmy. Jimmy, when am I going to come back on your Sam Roberts show?
I talked to Sam today. We were talking about you.
Yes.
I want Matt to come back
in. My ears were ringing.
I always feel bad because it's such an early day for you. I would love you to come on this week.
I'll check my schedule. No, I would
love you to.
No, but I definitely want to come back on.
We would love you to come on.
You know?
Yes.
All right. I think we should. So listen, props to the Cyborg. What are you going to say?
I also want to mention the...
Carl Llamas?
Yes.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was going to mention Ryan Ortega. And O'Connor. Wow. That was a tremendous fight.
That was a great fight, wasn't it?
Yeah, fight of the night.
And that guillotine, oh my goodness.
Were you surprised that Moicano actually brought him down? Didn't he initiate that takedown?
Oh, no, of course
he did.
For
what?
Well, it wasn't, well, even, like, it wasn't even technically raw. I mean, a lot of guys aren't pulling that off the way he pulled that off, Ortega. With the one left, when he had the, I believe it was his left arm, I'm not positive, but he had that around his neck. But the way he got that in, it finished it so, I mean.
It was flawless.
He is really believing in that, in his stand-up, and it's looking great, but he has such a really phenomenal ground game. You know, I think in the future he'd probably want to blend it a little bit more. In a sense, I don't really think the guy should be taking any that many shots. I mean, not that he took a ton of shots,
right?
But you know, look at you on the dude. That it was on. How long was it standing up? The whole fight.
It was well over 2 rounds.
How long was it on the floor? Round.
Two seconds.
Yeah,
and that included
not even. Was it 8 seconds?
That included getting up.
Yeah, I mean, so it's like, but hey, man, props. And he's a nice kid. I was talking to him over there.
Who, Ortega?
Yeah.
They're both 11-0 at the going in that fight.
And he had an injury. He was going around on crutches, and I think that happened before the fight. I'm pretty sure he told me that. So I'm like, what happened? He goes, this was pre-existing, you know? So he was walking around on crutches after. But let me tell you, what a nice, soft-spoken kid. He comes from the Gracie family. I'm going to say Hyron. I hope I got the right brother. I get the brother. No, Henner. He's with Henner. They're both tall and lanky. No, I think he was with Henner. Shit. He was with one of the Gracie brothers. I'm sorry. And I know the guy. I suck. But one of the two Gracie brothers. But they were, you know, listen, props, man. I like the way he brought up Grandmaster Elio Gracie. That was cool.
I didn't see the after.
Nah, well, listen, it was nice. So props to him. But I was in the locker room with Jason Knight. And all was missing was a banjo. It was like out of Deliverance. Though they were great guys, though.
Yeah,
great guys. Where's he from? Mississippi.
We interviewed.
Find
him.
Out where he's from.
I believe
Jason
he's not
Knight.
On the show. Am I correct?
I'm gonna say no. He wasn't on the show.
I don't think
you're thinking. I know who you're thinking of.
Who am I thinking of?
You're thinking of, I think, either Tim Elliott or somebody else.
No, I'm thinking of Jason Knight, but I could just be wrong.
I'm naming all my guys.
And I'm not thinking of Justin Gaethje. I'm thinking of him. I thought we.
No, but let me tell you.
Yeah, he's from Mississippi.
Yeah. And you know, and his listen, this kid loves to fight. And how slick was he on the floor? He was looking. That was an awesome. He was looking awesome, but he got up a little too soon, and he got clipped, and then he just never recovered. But what a, I mean, and hey, a lot of props to Ricardo Llamas because he was doing. And I don't want to attack Woodley or anything, but like you see how it was dangerous for Ricardo down there, but yet he was going back in, fighting out of stuff, fighting back in, and that's how it even ended. When he went on the floor at the end, he followed him down with a nice big booming shot.
Yeah.
And then sealed the deal. I mean, that's a guy who wasn't afraid of putting his head in the lion's mouth, you know what I mean? And that was a risk. And look how that paid off for Ricardo Llamas.
Then again, Moicano wasn't afraid to put his head in the lion's mouth and he got choked out.
Who?
Moicano. That was a bad move. You know what I mean? That was a bad move. He didn't need to do that. So he took that. And I'm not saying risks rewards, but he was fighting a great fight. That was a very close fight.
He was losing that fight, though.
But that was still a mistake. I thought that was a mistake.
Well, obviously, it's a mistake. He got fucking strangled.
Yeah.
I think. But I mean, hey, he gets that takedown, and that choke doesn't land. He's winning that round. Or you know what I mean? So listen, this is, hey, it's so hard to pick apart because, you know, hey, man, there's a game of inches in there.
Sure.
Game of Thrones?
No, inches.
You watch Game of Thrones? Did you watch it? Huh?
I'm almost.
Why do you keep looking at Chris?
I'm waiting for him to see if we've had Jason Knight on the show.
No, no.
I see what? What were we?
I was asking you to look up if we've had Jason Knight on.
Oh no, we have not had him.
Why do I think we have?
I don't know.
It's just a mistake. Maybe was he ever scheduled and then not come?
Yeah, it's possible.
I thought he was scheduled one time.
He was showing me, and he had him locked up in that mission control. That's like that high. It's a high guard.
Yes.
Eddie Bravo is really good at his guys in 10th Planet, and he locked them up there. You see Ben Saunders use that a lot in his fights, and. But, you know, Lamos got out of the trouble down there. But I really was impressed with Knight's ground game, man. And the way he just was reclaiming. He got his proper framework when Ricardo Lamos got him down in the beginning.
Yes.
And he got his proper framework, his arms underneath, not over where you keep the guy at the top. He brought his hands underneath, made a proper framework, would hip out, go knee to elbow, knee to elbow. He did a lot of reclaiming the guard. Excellent. Attacking the legs. Dangerous down there. Scrappy guy. What is Knight's record? Because everybody knows. Listen, and I don't want to take nothing away from Ricardo Lamos won the fight, and you know he was already
he's getting title, up there too.
You know, he went up there, he fought for the title.
Was he 35 now or something? He's getting up there.
He's looking great though.
I don't know. Let me see.
He looked great physically. He looked great.
Amazing.
Yeah, he's 35 and, exactly.
I'll tell you, that was for me. That was a lot of fun because, and again, back in the locker room with Jason Knight, the stuff he was on the floor was really slick. He was even showing me a strangle he does with his own shorts. He said, "You're allowed to grab your own shorts." So he was like, "Bing, bing, bing." He's like, "Hey, look at this." And he's showing me that. I'm like, "Man," I go, "You get that off in training?" He goes, "Yep, get it off a bunch." So I was watching what he was fighting to see if he was going to do it. But I was very impressed with his all around game. Yes, he lost and he didn't recover after he got hurt. But man, what a scrappy dude. What is his record?
He's 20-3 now.
Who did he lose to in the UFC? What's his record?
He's lost to Kawajiri and Ricardo Lamas in the UFC. And then his other loss is like way back in the day when he, you know, started in 2012.
And I'm sorry, who did he lose to? The first?
He lost to Tetsuya Kawajiri.
Oh.
That was his debut. He lost in that fight.
Okay.
And then this loss against Lamas.
Hey, man, I don't care. I want to see him again. I enjoy him.
No, he's
a
fun fighter.
He had the right attitude backstage. He's like, "I'll be back." Yeah, he's got like real accent, real Mississippi. And his big coach was like a big, heavy guy, nice dude. I like those guys. They had a good energy in the locker room with us. They were right back there with me and Aljo and the big guy, Longo. And what else? Calvin.
Cater.
Cater. And he's with my buddy Mark Delgrati versus Andre Feely. Now let me tell you about Feely. I'm a huge fan of this kid. Not only is he a good fighter, and first of all, congrats to Cater. That's a tall order for your first fight in the UFC.
Yeah.
And he did really well, man. That guy was composed, dangerous, heavy hands. I mean, he was in there, man. That's impressive for a debut. But Feely, on the way back, after the fight, he was in there. It was a good fight. Fun fight. On the way back, you know, the bus was packed, right? We were like an hour away, where our hotel, or close to an hour away. Maybe, I don't know, half an hour, 45 minutes, whatever it was. But we had these big buses leaving in Anaheim, leaving the event center there. It was the Hana Center, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Getting back to our hotel, which is in Guam. So it was packed. So I ended up, there was no seats left. So I mean, it was me sitting down. So Feely ended up sitting next to me. And that was a great trip. You know why it flew? He's a comic book fan.
Oh
my goodness. Geek alert. We get off the bus. Longo's like, you have no shame. I go, what? He goes, I heard that conversation. He goes, you're a funny something, you're a man. I'm like, leave me alone, Longo. Can't I just talk comics with my buddy Andre?
Who else is on
Andre
the bus?
Feely. Oh, a lot of fighters were on there, a ton of guys. Like, you know, half of a lot of guys, most of the guys on the whole card, except for the main event. But so anyway, me and him, he went on his phone, he looked at it, and it was like a Netflix thing, but it wasn't Netflix, it was like all comic books. It's like, oh, you're a fan? Oh, that sparked it off. Talking X-Men, Wolverine versus Spider-Man. He's funny. He's like, oh, man, it's really cool you're into this, man. Like, Danny Castillo and those guys, they make fun of me. Like, they ask, like, they're interested, and I start talking, and they start goofing on me. I go, I got your back. Come on, Feely. There's nothing unmanly about this. Show me his Darth Vader tattoo.
That's pretty cool.
Jimmy's looking at me the same way Longo looked
Darth
at me.
Darth Vader tattoos.
Am I just... You're both looking at me like that.
It's
Listen.
Fun. It's nice. You bonded with Andre Feely. That's
all
good.
Right. I'm a dangerous guy. So what if I grew up on comics? I can't relive some of my childhood?
Abu Karin, did you see it?
Why are you bringing up changing the subject?
No, I'm not.
Okay, Jimmy.
Did you see Abu Karin?
What?
Alexandra Albu against Kaylin Curran?
Oh, yes, I did.
That was a good fight.
And you know what? That girl, first of all, that
Russian. I thought
Curran
might have squeezed it out. Am I an idiot? I was surprised that Albu got the decision.
I thought she did, actually, too. Who, Curran? I thought Kaylin Curran won.
Yeah, I thought that, yeah.
You know what the problem is? I see what Curran and, you know, there was I'm sorry, Albu. She was like,
she took a lot. Her of head.
She's just a tough girl that could battle through things, doing the wrong stuff. She does that head and arm throw, where she exposes the back. Where I'm just dying every time she would throw her. There was things in jiu-jitsu where they were just right, like just so, like right there, so obvious. And I'm like, you know, why isn't Curran like hooking her leg to take her back? Why is there was things that are just like if she did that same stuff to Thug Rose,
yeah.
If she did that same stuff to Felice Herrig,
yeah,
she's getting strangled.
Cynthia Calvillo.
Yeah. She fights any. Oh yeah, she fights any of the guys exactly.
You think Rose?
Oh, I saw
make,
Cynthia.
Rose would make her pay.
Each one of them are taking her back, and it's not going over around if she tries to throw at them like that. And Curran was not. But the thing that stuck out in my head is that she's not taking advantage of something that's just a gimme.
Now, what do you mean? How are you? I remember the choke, the headlock throw.
Yeah.
So what would she do? What could they have done differently when she gets him in the headlock?
Well, it's not about getting thrown. It's about what happens right after that. Like she gets thrown. Now you're holding somebody on. You're still holding somebody with the head. Once you end the arm, now you keep that arm tucked. It's hard to control that arm. You lose that head. The back is right there.
Okay.
So if I have your head here and your arm, I throw you, I lose that head.
Okay.
A perfect example, a guy I fought too, Ivan Medjavar, very tough guy, fought Uriah Faber. And Medjavar did a beautiful head and arm throw on him. Boom. And what did Uriah do? Uriah's been around the fucking block. He knows how to grapple. He took his back and he strangled him, you know? And that's what a lot of people are going to be doing if she continues,
do you think she's gonna need to adjust?
Well, hey, listen. She fights any of those girls I mentioned, she's gonna get strangled. And I think, and she was a nice girl. She asked for a picture, and she, you know, what? And she seems like she's a. And listen, she's tough. That was like a Terminator.
Alexander,
like she, yeah. She didn't know. Like she's the type that doesn't even know she's getting hit. Like she didn't even care. She was going forward. It was fun to watch.
Yeah.
But Curran, there's some stuff in jiu-jitsu wise where I'm like, oh man, you could really just. Make her pay for this, make her pay for that. We're giving up position that she's going to have to work on, you know? So, but hey, fun fight regardless.
Yeah, I thought Curran should have
gotten definitely.
We covered a lot of ground today.
We did. I know. We're almost done. You got a foot out the door?
I got to pee.
Do you got to pee?
A little bit.
Drew Dober.
I didn't see that fight.
Well, he connected with UFC vet Josh Berkman. Hey man, Jared Brooks had his debut, and that was a close one, very close for his Eric Shelton.
Yeah, that was a tough. That was a tough one to score.
You know, we thought Shelton might have scored that. The guys in the back, we all thought that. But you got it, Jared Brooks. If you ever get that guy, that guy's a mile a minute, man. That guy's talking, and he's actually like a little insane, but he's a very nice, respectful kid. And it's nice to have him on there, too. Now we covered everything, Jimmy.
Yes, we did.
Every single thing. You holding your pee-pee?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Badly.
Did I tell you earlier about the guy who was outside the door when I had to go to the bathroom?
Mm-mm.
I'll tell you next time, because you got to go to the bathroom now.
Yeah. You said so.
Did you fart?
No.
Hi. What else you want to talk about, Jimmy?
I'm whatever you want. I'm done. I have to pee. What?
You got all right. Why don't we just give a plug?
Okay. I'll be in Atlantic City this Saturday night only. Two shows at the Borgata Hotel and Casino, a brand new hour of material. My tour starts in September. I'll be plugging that soon. Montreal was amazing. I asked them if there were some Matt and Jim fans, and there are up there.
They didn't chant "fuck you, Sarah."
They love Sarah.
They like me in Montreal now.
They love you in Montreal.
That's good news, Jimmy.
I know, and I knew where I was too.
Ah, oh, Jimmy, let me tell you, I can't wait to see you again. I really can't.
Two more days.
Let's talk about some more stuff. You got to go to the bathroom?
Badly.
All right, listen.
On Wednesday? We got two phone calls.
Yeah, we got Rashad Evans, who we like talking to a lot.
On Thursday. And,
on Thursday. And Sergio Pettis for the first time.
Oh, and Rashad Evans.
Yeah.
He's working Mark Henry now. That's interesting.
Oh, I didn't even realize.
We're going to keep people in suspense. And people, for me, Dana White looking for a fight. You know that. It's on YouTube. That's all I got to say. Leave a comment for this show on iTunes or wherever you get freaking podcasts. Now I'm just going to keep talking because Jimmy's got to go pee-pee. And also, you don't got to train with me, but you should be training. Train jiu-jitsu. Do martial arts. Do mixed martial arts. It's good for you. It's good for your body. All right? SarahBJJ.com. Goodbye, Jimmy.
Goodbye, buddy.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.